Got 5, 4, 3.
Hello, aliens, and welcome back to Area 51 and a half, where we talk about all things science fiction, fantasy, horror, and pop culture. I am your host, Spooky Uncle John. With me, as always, are my millennial falcons.
Snyderman 501, Nick Snyder.
Ren, a.k.a. Pyre Lily.
Yay!
I'm back!
How was your weekend?
Oh, it was super fun. So I went down to Fort Meigs in Ohio. Took a bunch of classes on basically fashions of Jane Austen era, so 1800s, early 1800s kind of thing, which goes with my War of 1812 reenacting that I do. It was super nice. I got to see a bunch of people I haven't seen all summer. Met a few new people that are part of the Austen group, but not the reenacting group. And I took... Let's see, I learned how to work on drafting patterns from books, which I kind of knew how to do before, but that helps with cosplay stuff, although I've done that a bunch of times. But also I took a whole class on Regency era makeup. So I got a whole bunch of like samples and stuff of like different rouges and white face paint and basically learning the techniques that they used. So like for eyeliner, like they didn't like align the top line, they actually just lined the waterline. And it was really interesting because they were talking about, like, you know, the difference between the, like, 1700s where it was like, everybody needs to look sickly and gross. And then, like, but now they're like, oh, it's basically a lot of stuff that we do now where it's like, to be healthy in the Regency era, you have to take care of your inner body and your outer body. So, you know, you do exercises and you have to look, like, I don't know. It was very interesting because I've known... makeup eras from like different eras, but the company, like the woman who did it, has a company where she does makeup of the style, and she researches it and uses, like, you know, good materials, not like the lead paint and shit like that.
Yeah,
but I did put lead paint on my arm. It's pretty great. But so
just don't eat it, children.
Yeah, don't eat it. But it was very entertaining. It was very informative. I learned a lot of stuff, got to see a lot of fashions, and yeah, it was just fun to go.
For that healthy glow, have that pinch of cyanide. Oh my gosh. So, Nick, what have you been up to?
Work.
Sounds boring. Let's not talk about that.
You know, playing video games, painting, you know, the usual stuff.
I've seen some of the... Explain to the aliens, because they can't see into our booth, what it is you're painting.
So I've been painting a lot of D&D minis. I have painted well over 100 of them now. This past week, I've worked on He-Man. I've worked on a saber-toothed tiger. I've worked on a nearly naked orc girl. If you want to see some of my miniatures, check it out on Instagram at Nick's Dungeonscapes. I'm having fun with that. I enjoy doing it.
I'm holding my head at the nearly naked orc girl. I'm just like...
You should see the Twi'lek.
Is that the actual description?
Oh, no, she has a name. I just don't remember what it is. It's like Grimthar the Dancer or something like that.
Grimthar the Dancer.
Yeah, he's been going on like Etsy and stuff, so...
Oh, my goodness.
That's the Twi'lek.
Okay, yeah.
You should post some pictures and tag the shops you buy them from on Etsy. A lot of them come from Etsy.
Yeah, I should do that.
Speaking of videos, you guys will get a kick out of this for sure. So this little reel that I saw. So it's a mother in a drive-thru. And she's got her toddler / child in the back seat as a good mother would.
Her offling.
Yes. In her offling?
Her spawnling?
Anyway.
Her ling, her childling, her halfling, whatever. In the back seat in the kids, you know, conveyance that you put them in for safety. Unlike my generation where your mother had a death grip on you and that was it. You know, you would just go flying through the windshield. Bye. We'll make another one. So the mother's there and she's getting coffee, right? So she orders her coffee. She's like a coffee. And the kid from the back says, can I get cookies? And the mother says, no, we have cookies at home. This kid is going to own the world, let me tell you. The kid doesn't miss a beat. And the kid says, we have coffee at home. And the mother just gets that look on her face and goes, and I'd like some cookies too, please.
Oh!
Good on you, kid. You're going to be like the best lawyer ever if you grow up and follow that path.
Oh my gosh, I love it.
Oh, it was the best. And on that note, Nick, remind our aliens how they can get a hold of us.
Oh, they can find us on social media, Instagram, TikTok, and Threads at the Area 51H. You can find us on Facebook and YouTube by searching for Area 51 and a half. And of course, don't forget to check out our Patreon for all sorts of exclusive goodies and a shout out during our podcast.
Well, talking about that reel actually just takes us right into Nick's Pop Culture Roundup.
Well, John, they've finally done it in the United States. Normally, we don't talk about political stuff here, but this is kind of a huge thing. They've passed the TikTok banification thing in the States.
Really?
They passed it. That doesn't necessarily... So there's a couple things to it. One, the Chinese owner has been given, I think it's like a week, something like that, to find a U.S. buyer or none. And, you know, the Chinese owner, I didn't look up the name. I should have done that. But anyway, he's already said, I'd rather it go under than sell it to a U.S. buyer. So that's not going to happen. There's a whole thing about it. All sorts of different people on TikTok all over the internet have offered their opinions on it. Go look it up. Some of it's really, really interesting stuff. And I'm not really going to talk about here because it really does get into the political minutia. But it's wild.
I'm going to miss seeing some like high-stepping hoofers on those TikTok videos.
Well, to be fair, it's banned in the United States, not Canada.
I was going to say the rest of the world can still... Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Is that going to be a social media platform that the U.S. can no longer have?
But you know what, though? I mean, like, a vast majority of the videos we do see comes from the American population.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, like, I don't know how many Canadians are, like, dancing to, like, the Britney Spears mix of toxic.
And it would be very interesting, though, to see a social media that the U.S. has no influence on.
And that's... And
again, in my opinion, without, that would be interesting. But
without getting too far into it, that's the problem with it. They have no influence of it. They don't control the flow of information on TikTok.
Oh, no.
That's the problem.
Yeah. But anyway, we'll see what happens.
The problem with the media is Walter Cronkite is dead.
Yeah, you ain't wrong about that. No, all right.
I am not wrong about that. If you want to know who Walter Cronkite is, younger generations, go look it up.
It's called Google. We have it. All right. Keanu Reeves has been cast as the voice of Shadow the Hedgehog in the next Sonic movie. And I'm good with that. I like that. I love these Sonic movies. They're so much fun. They're just light, fluffy movies. And Idris Elba as Knuckles is just fantastic. Oh, they just released the Knuckles TV show, too. I need to check that out. So, yeah, Keanu Reeves is Shadow.
Keanu Reeves is having a good, I don't know if I want to say third act at this point, but he's having a really good, at least second and a half act.
A renaissance, you might say.
We need to stop.
Speaking of somebody who's having just like a great act, I can't believe that Taylor Swift at this point does not own the world.
Can you confidently say that?
It's either her or Disney. I'm not sure which, but I just think this woman is worth billions of dollars. She creates her own economy wherever she goes. And the thing of it is, like, I got thinking about it because like people will attack her left, right, and center, right?
Which I don't get.
And Travis Kelce's dad responded to some of the criticism that she gets about like how she's going to give birth to the Antichrist, and he's just like something like, I hope it's a boy or something. That's my boy or something. He said something like that. I didn't really pay that close attention because I find the whole thing ridiculous. But it's interesting to me to watch this meteoric rise and the domination of Taylor Swift, because the thing of it is, it brings into a very interesting kind of conversation where it's like, why is she so popular? Because this one person had written that she's bigger than the Beatles, she's bigger than like just this whole list of all these people that have come before Taylor Swift, and I'm just like, no, right now she's more popular That doesn't mean she's greater than.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, like, as an artist, I think she's good. I think she's great. I think that she has found her people, for sure. But stylistically, I was there at the beginning listening to her, and I thought, oh, this is a cute little girl doing some country music, and it's going to be fine, and I'm enjoying it, and I'm buying a couple albums. Never thought she'd be where she is, by any means.
So have you listened to her newest album that's come out? Because no, she did drop a new album this week. Last week. Two albums.
Well, no, I that's the thing I want to talk about, because it's like there was that whole thing about it's like, oh, it got leaked. It got leaked. And she had like her marketing team had like all these things that you could go to. There was like a billboard here, or there was like a Banksy style art thing here. I'm wondering if that leak wasn't a leak.
Oh, absolutely. It wasn't.
Because she has so good of control. Okay. So anyway. She's also bringing back a character that, so I listened to a whole podcast on this one actress. She's bringing back someone who hasn't been talked about in years, Clara Bow.
Mm-hmm.
She has an entire song about Clara Bow.
Right.
And then I went and listened to a whole podcast about her, and oh boy, is she wild. But anyway, she, in the song though, she talks about Clara Bow, Stevie Nicks, and then says, you look like Taylor Swift.
Right.
She's getting to the age where Clara had her downfall.
Right.
Like once, I guess 35, I think I read 35, Stevie Nicks and Clara Bow were both like, they had issues. Because Clara Bow, like Taylor and Clara have very similar like issues that have gone on.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so it's very interesting.
What do you mean by issues? Like,
so like scandals, right. Their scandals were not exactly the same, but they had very similar, because this podcast that
people were creating scandals for them, or they were embroiled in scandals? Because I don't really think of Taylor Swift as being in anything sort of scandalous.
The main scandal that she had recently was the Kanye West thing, where she's like, oh, I said that you couldn't do that. But he said that, well, here's the video of me, of you saying, yes, I could include you in the album or something.
Mm.
And Clara Bow also had a whole bunch of scandals about just, I don't know, she was a flapper and actually living the flapper lifestyle, and people didn't like it. So, you know, that was a whole problem. But she brought back and brought up this character, this human that we haven't talked about in a while.
Yeah.
The original It Girl was brought back up by Taylor Swift. I just thought that was really cool. So it made me go and look at it, because also, like, I'm super into, like, the 20s, 30s, 40s kind of stuff. And so I was like, yes, I've heard of Clara Bow, but not really.
I'm pretty sure Tay-Tay's just sitting there to all the haters going, yeah, let me just cry in my billions of dollars.
Well, yeah, but like, I don't know, I saw a TikTok that was like, oh, well, she's now like kind of someone who was believing that she was passing the torch on to someone else because she's reaching 35 and that's kind of the end of a lot of people's career. I don't know. It's a lot of stuff, but it's just very interesting because she brings people back and she's bringing up things and...
So this sparked a conversation between Ren and I. We wound up talking about generational talent and once in a generation talent. And, you know, talent like Dolly Parton, talent like Rod Stewart, Beyonce, all that stuff. And Taylor Swift is, like, I don't think her career is anywhere near done, because I think she is entering that kind of pantheon. I think she's still going to be selling out stadiums not necessarily stadiums, but she's still going to be selling out shows in her 40s and 50s. She's got a huge career ahead of her. She's going to continue making a ton of money. She's insanely talented.
Yeah, Madonna wasn't done. Dolly is not done. I mean, Dolly put down her rock album.
Yeah.
Like, and it's a spectacular album. You know, like she's going to move. What's going to happen is she's going to move into that Celine Dion era, where she's going to have a residency in Vegas.
Or absolutely.
Something like that, you know, especially if she and Travis Kelce get married and start having the devil's child.
Well, but here's another thing to keep in mind. Look at Janet Jackson. Janet Jackson didn't have her first kid till she was 57. She kept the grind going.
Yeah.
So who knows?
But I mean, like, I don't know where she can go from here, because it just seems like, other than, you know, dominating the world, which but you're right. There are certain talents that come along in a generation that just make a big splash. Like the Osmond brothers were huge in their era. And then Donnie Osmond was the one that came out of all of that from the Osmond brothers becoming very, very famous to a generation back in the 60s and 70s, you know. And now he does his shows in Vegas and sells them out to all of his fans. Yeah. Does he have new fans? No. But quick story about that. I was in the chat room and they were playing the song they did a duet with Susan Boyle. Right? And the lady's like, this is Susan Boyle. She's great. I said, I don't know who she's singing with. I said, that's Donny Osmond. And she's like, how do you know that? I said, listen, lady, I've been listening to Donny Osmond since I was 6 years old. I know the man's voice. That's Donny Osmond. So my point being is like, all this criticism of Taylor Swift is like, just leave the girl alone. I mean, she's living her life. She's gone beyond what I expected she would have done. I thought she like would put out a couple albums and then she'd be like, hey, you remember so-and-so like from like the early...
Remember that you belong with me, girl? Yeah. Oh, yeah. What happened to her?
Like, she's released, what, 8 albums since 2020 or something like that? Like, something huge.
She works. She works. Some of them are revamps of old ones, but right. She did have to go in and re-record a bunch of the stuff, if not all of it. I'm not exactly sure how they redo the Taylor's versions and stuff.
I would like to see some of her new stuff because I saw a clip from the video on the news. I mean, she makes the news for Pete's sakes. And they look, the videos look stunning, you know, they just look amazing. And of course I want to see a video because I am the video generation.
But also, having a song called Fortnite is only going to help Taylor because people are going to go Google Fortnite and it's just going to, first thing is probably going to be Taylor Swift's song, followed by the video game.
Yeah.
Which is going to be interesting. I haven't looked up the Google search stuff yet, but...
I want to see Taylor Swift in Fortnite.
You know what? That's probably going to... I wouldn't be surprised if that happens.
Yeah, they do concerts and stuff on Fortnite, don't they?
I don't know. But they have. They do skins and different things. And they do the dances. So I wouldn't be shocked if...
What was that wrestling video game that I have that you introduced me to where I would... Ren, you have to understand. So I was meticulously creating these wrestlers...
Yeah. But they would SmackDown versus Raw.
Yeah, but I would make them like friends or people that we knew.
Oh my gosh.
And Nick sat there and said, it is scary how accurate you have made them.
Yeah.
And it was like PS2, so I kind of want to cook up the PS2 and go back and see if I can make a Taylor Swift.
Oh my gosh.
Because that would be awesome to have Taylor Swift come down and just like get the Diva belt or something like that.
She would, though. No, she's not. I don't think she'd ever go to wrestling.
No. Well, she would. Well, would as a performer because sometimes they do.
Yeah.
Her boyfriend's brother was involved in WrestleMania this year. So, you know, there's a thing.
Right. He was. That was the best.
Well, Speaking of video games, that is our main topic today, kiddies.
That's right, John. And as part of our, we're doing this kind of part of our halfway to Halloween. While Purgus knocked.
We are specifically talking about a specific type of video game, and that is the horror-themed video game. Ren, you have some history for us.
I do. I do love horror video games. I haven't played many
Mothers
of them.
Everywhere.
Yeah. I haven't played a ton of them, but I do like watching them. I watch a lot of them. I watch people play them because I can't get through them. But anyway, so quick background, you know, to relate more to John's era.
Hey, wait, you calling me old?
Yes.
Just a little bit. 1972, the first Haunted
House. It's not my era. I was like, how old was I in 72? Let me think.
Three.
I was 3 years old.
Whatever.
My era.
Close enough.
Oh my God.
On the Magnavox Odyssey, which I'd never heard of. Magnavox Odyssey had a haunted house overlay that was included with in the console. And that was kind of the start of having horror with video games. Space Invaders has been considered a horror video game.
Yes. And the reason for that is because I think it's one of the first video games where because there was like a stake involved where it's like, as you were destroying, like, they start off very slow and they're doing their boop, mm-hmm. boop, 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 and then you have to, like, move your little tank and fire on them.
Yep.
And you can hide behind the houses.
Yeah, it involved an alien invasion that slowly descends and time increases to create a sense of panic.
Exactly.
Which is one of the key parts of horror video games.
So I do want to point out something about that, though. One of my favorite things about the game. It wasn't designed to do that. That's actually a glitch. Because of the way it was made, the speed of the game wasn't enough for it to process it. So the reason it gets faster is because the game is processing it quicker as it goes. Yeah, it's just kind of neat.
But they kept it. So, yeah. And then there were two text-based adventure games, Mystery House in 1980 and The Lurking Horror in 1987.
I think I played The Lurking Horror.
I dated The Lurking Horror.
They used horror elements to describe their rooms.
Yeah.
So then there was Nostromo in 1981. These are kind of out of order, but whatever. 1981 for the PC-6001, which involved escaping an alien invasion with limited resources. So kind of like the Alien movies.
Well, yeah, Nostromo was the name of the ship from Alien as well.
Yeah, so it was based on, yeah. And then, of course, in the 80s and 90s, they started coming out with the Texas Chainsaw Massacre game, the Halloween game, Friday the 13th, Project Firestart. But due to the limitations of the systems, the images that had the horror elements were only in cutscenes.
Yeah.
Instead of, like, the animated sprites that were used in the other action games.
My favorite thing about the Friday the 13th game is that Jason is entirely purple. and for the Friday the 13th video game that recently came out, they had a skin based on that appearance. So he's all, like, it's a realistic version of Jason. But he's all purple. It's just kind of cool. I like it.
And in FNAF, the purple man is the bad man.
Oh.
Ooh. Ooh, FNAF, you're doing things. Anyway. And then there's subgenres of the games.
Yeah.
So what makes a horror game first? What makes a horror game is normally it's narrative based and obviously designed to scare players.
Yeah.
Like, there are the action elements and, like, the shootings and stuff like that, but most of it is, it's all narrative-based storyline.
Yeah, and, you know, it's funny because it's so much easier to sit there and say, this video game is definitely a horror-based video game than it is to sometimes have a debate of what makes a horror movie a horror movie, you know?
Yes, yeah.
Like, there's still that camp, you're either in Camp Jaws is a horror movie or Camp Jaws is not a horror movie. You're either in Camp Jurassic Park is a horror movie or Camp Jurassic Park is not a horror movie. Whereas with the video games, it's like, that's a horror video game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Enjoy that. Enjoy your heartbeat rapidly going through the roof.
I had the debate with Nick and one of my other friends who's kind of helping me do this. Is Among Us a horror video game? It's not designed to scare you, but it's a killer that you don't know, you have to discover it. So it's kind of like it's a mystery, but at the same time, there's the killing. So, like, what are mysteries?
Yeah, and I think that's the thing. It's like, you know, getting back to the movies for just a second, there's a lot of people that get the genres confused. Mm-hmm. A thriller is not the same as a horror movie.
Mm-hmm.
A thriller might have horror elements in it,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't make it a horror movie.
Yeah.
You know, and I think what people are kind of missing in order for it to be horror, there has to be something kind of supernatural. Now, that's a very broad kind of thing, right? Because there's all kinds of...
Well, there's sci-fi horror.
Yeah, but you could, you know, so the definitions get a little bit blurry. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like when I was growing up, the section was always sci-fi slash horror.
Yeah.
And now they've kind of moved apart.
I think for this purpose, we're basically like, if you were to go to Steam or PS Store or Xbox and type in horror, if the video game's listed there, that's what we're considering horror, basically. Yeah, yeah. For this talk.
For this discussion.
For this discussion. So there's a few different kinds. Can you guys guess the kinds? We'll do a little quiz.
Different kinds.
Like different
five subgenres, according to what I...
Okay, so I'm going to throw slasher and see if that's in there.
No.
Oh. Okay, so I'm not thinking along the right
type
track.
Of games.
Survival. Oh.
Survival. Yeah, it's a type of game.
Would something like, I don't know what it's called, but it's almost like a choose your own adventure. Like you'd have to make different choices.
That's one of the elements.
Oh, that's one of the elements.
Yeah. It's not really a subgenre, but
would first person shooter fall under that?
No. That's a kind of video game genre.
I don't know the video game genres.
So we have survival, which ends up doing like survival of an area, so apocalypse situations, oftentimes zombies.
Right.
So Resident Evil, Fatal Frame.
Right.
Action, which is they use first and third person shooters along with the themes.
Yeah.
So that's like Dead Space, Left 4 Dead, The Last of Us.
Right. Okay.
Psychological, meant to scare the player through emotional, mental, or psychological states.
That's like Five Nights at Freddy. Would that fall under that one?
No. Five Nights at Freddy is the next one. These are Silent Hill, Amnesia, Doki Doki Literature Club, Apocalypse Now. So it relies on the player character's unreliable perceptions or questionable sanity.
I live my life every day.
And it may not have a ton of action, but that allows you to like explore the area a little bit more, so you can really be like, ooh, what's this? Does this mean anything? Ooh, like...
Oh, yeah.
That kind of... So, Call of Cthulhu, the video game, kind of falls under that as well as survival.
Yeah. It also may take advantage of the fourth wall to appear to affect the computer player or console. Like, to affect the computer or the console.
Oh, you mean like when it goes... Bzzz,
bzzz, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so this is not a horror game, but I still need to talk about this for just a second. Batman Arkham Asylum. When you're playing through it, there's a part where it glitches out, and then it goes to a cutscene of a remake of the opening scene where Joker's driving Batman to Arkham Asylum. But they did the glitch out so well that people thought that there was something wrong with the game, and they pulled the game out.
See, so that would be considered like a psychological.
But you know, that's interesting you bring that up, because having played that game, there are definitely elements of horror
with the Scarecrow.
Yeah, well, not just but I mean, when you get to the final boss with the Joker, and he becomes this monstrous thing with the whatever.
The spinies.
Whatever he has injected within himself. But.
So then another one, which is Five Nights at Freddy, Poppy Playtime, Resident Evil, are jump scares.
Okay.
So they're just literally they're going to jump out. They're going to scare you. You don't know when.
Right.
You could turn a corner, it could be there, you could turn a corner, not.
Right.
So just aim to immediately surprise or shock the player and create a sense of dread. So these are very popular to watch over playthroughs. Like, I've watched Poppy's playtime through a playthrough because, one, I don't like the jump scares on me.
Yeah.
Two, I like watching the reactions. And three, there's a lot of puzzles and I get really frustrated. So I just...
The jump scares aren't so bad when you're sitting in front of a console. I mean, they're terrible. It's like, ah! But, I mean, could you imagine doing, like, VR?
Yeah.
Like, okay, so I did that. I was at a friend's place, and they had their PSVR, and the game, like, it wasn't a game. It was like you control it, but you're going down in a shark cage.
You and sharks. God. No.
And it got to the point, I didn't even see the shark. It got to a point where I literally climbed backwards out of my seat over the back of it. One of the guys that was at, it was a New Year's Eve party. One of the guys was like, are you serious? I'm like, yeah, I'm serious.
I would love to do Phasmophobia in VR. I have a friend that's played it before, and it's apparently spooky. I mean, I get spooked when I just have my headphones on. But anyway, the last one is Reverse.
Okay.
Which basically means that you are the killer. Involve players scaring others instead of you being scared. They commonly have some sort of advantage. So, like, you know, the superpowers, the super hearing, whatever.
Yeah, your Friday...
Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, holy crap. I was going to say Friday Nights at Freddy's, but I'm just like, I'm just not with it today, kids. Your Friday the 13th is like that. You get to play as Jason or the counselors.
Yeah. Yep.
And you either are trying to kill them or
escape.
Or escape.
Dead by Daylight, Friday the 13th video game, or like the game. But it's also sometimes used as a like sequel or a prequel to show the perspective of the monster, villain, antagonist. Mm. Instead of, so you get just a different element, or it's like a section of the game where you can, but anyway.
Yeah.
Those are, from what I very briefly saw, I'm sure there's a lot more subgenres, but these are the ones that I found too briefly.
I would say those are the main ones.
Yeah, they're the main ones. So, yeah. There's a ton of games. I only have a very small list from what is possible.
So what ones have you guys played? Let's start with you, Nick.
Oh, obviously the Resident Evil series. I played a lot of the Resident Evil games. And somebody's going to come for me for this, but I don't care. Wasn't really a big fan of the first three Resident Evil games because they had that cinematic camera thing going on. I never really liked, like, just the weird angles. I found it difficult to control. Resident Evil Zero is the first game I've ever had to pop out a calculator for. So far, the last. But when they got into Resident Evil 4 and it was over the shoulder, oh my God, I loved that. But nothing, to me, in the Resident Evil series, there is nothing scarier than that giant-ass zombie with the chainsaw coming out of nowhere and just killing Leon. Like, he just... I still remember the first time that happened because I was in a house, just like some farmhouse, and the zombies are coming up the stairs, and then I turn around, dude's there with a chainsaw, just cuts me in half. I'm like, oh my god.
Yeah, they will do that. I mean, that's the whole thing. Like, these things really actually have a good level of fright to them.
Yeah.
Sometimes more than actual horror movies, you know?
Well, that's because in a lot of the cases, these games draw you right in. You are a character.
You are,
Yeah. Alien Isolation, another one that I played and I love, even though I haven't finished it because it makes my butt pucker every time I play it. There was one night that you were over and I was playing it, and I'm just walking around doing what I need to do, and all of a sudden the alien gets me out of nowhere. I scream, you scream because I screamed.
Yeah, we all scream for ice cream.
I like some ice cream.
We'll go for ice cream after.
All right. Alien Isolation is another fantastic one. It's amazing narrative. The what you're given to defend yourself against this thing. And there's only one alien in the entire game. You're not given a lot. It is true survival. It has the jump scare element. It is visceral when you play through it.
All I know is I'm glad that in the vast majority of these horror video games that you actually have health packs.
Yeah, yeah. For the most part.
Because I don't want to die. You know, it's funny because I love the horror genre. Nobody really loves it more than me. Well, there's probably a lot of people out there that love it more than me. But I mean, I love the horror genre. I don't love horror video games, to your point, Nick, because I don't want to get killed. And it feels very much like that. There's an acronym for FEAR, which stands for False Evidence Appearing Real. Right? So I'm in a throw of fear with these horror video games because it's like you have this stake and this thing is coming at you. And even though viscerally you know it's fake, you know you're safe, but it gets the adrenaline pumping. Mm-hmm. And I'm not great at playing video games. I'm not necessarily that good at them. So to not be that good. And what always annoys me is like I kind of get disoriented. A little bit, right?
It's easy to have that.
Well, because you're sitting there and you're like, what is stabbing me? And you can't find the thing because it's snuck up behind you, which I think is real cheap and unfair. But yeah, I'm just like, what? So I haven't really played a lot of them myself, but the ones that I have played, like I go back to one of the first really big ones, which was Doom.
Yeah.
Doom was fantastic. In its time, to the point that it actually spawned a movie. And that's what's really cool about these horror video games is that they are getting turned into movies. Like Resident Evil has a huge franchise.
Yeah.
Silent Hill, Doom, just to name a few. Five Nights at Freddy's recently.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right, so Nick and I have mentioned a couple. What about you, Ren?
I've played... I tried Mortuary Assistant. And then I had to go find that to stream and watch because I couldn't. It was too creepy. It's amazing, though.
I haven't heard of that one.
So Mortuary Assistant, it's kind of like the Autopsy of Jane Doe, which is why I thought of it last night. But so, yeah, you're basically your mortuary's assistant who has to work overnight and the guy's gone. So it's just you. And it's cool because you have to go through like some of the steps of being the mortuary person, like trying to figure out what happened to the bodies and stuff.
So you got
to
figure out puzzles and things?
Or? A little bit. It's like you have to like, you know, do what mortuary people do and look at different parts of the body, and you have to like write them on the clipboard and stuff. Yeah. And then, but there's demons, and like you could sell your soul to the demon in the game. And it's interesting. The first time I tried it, it was like, I saw a shadow in the corner and I was like, nope, I'm gone. So I just had to watch someone play it. A lot of my horror games I end up watching.
Is that on your Steam?
No, it's not on my Steam. I found like a free download for it or something a while ago.
But I do that a lot with my friend Mark. He gets excited about a video game and I'm just and he's like, you're going to love it because it's horror. It's like, no, you play it. I'll watch.
One that I need to play is Observation Duty. So much fun. And I want to stream that. Observation Duty, it's basically your kind of like you look through video cameras and you have to find the differences in the rooms and stuff, and if there's an anomaly, and it could be anything from something moves, something shows up, like it's crazy. I never played FNAF, but I watched it. I've tried BioShock and I got stuck on one of the puzzles, so I have to actually start that over.
I got all the BioShock games.
Yeah, I think I have like one, but Left 4 Dead I played. Left 4 Dead 2, I guess I played. Whichever. One of them. They're all like zombie apocalypse games. Slenderman, I did.
I don't know. I don't like that game. Not that it's too scary. It's not good.
Fine. That's fine. I have played like Lethal Company, Dead by Daylight, and Phasmophobia. I play a lot of multiplayer horror games because it's a little less scary.
So with Phasmophobia, I'll be sitting here on my computer while Rand's sitting there on their computer playing it with people, and all of a sudden I just hear screaming and oh god. Anyway,
it's great. Or where are you? Where are you? Where are you?
Yeah, where constantly are you? Where are like, you?
Nowhere. Of course my friends can hear him over my mic sometimes, so they're like, thanks Nick. And then I watched like Poppy's Playtime because I tried that one and
Is Poppy's Playtime?
Poppy's Playtime is you are an old employee of a toy factory and you have to go back and like you get stuck in there or something. So anyway,
it's like Five Nights at Freddy's.
Kind of, except that you have to go through and like you're actually walking around compared to Five Nights at Freddy's where you're stuck space.
Sounds very similar.
But yeah, so there's like
in theme, Poppy. Anyway.
There's Poppy, who's a creepy doll, and then there's Spaghetti Betty, who is like remember the dolls that were like, they had like the stretchable arms and
like
Stretch Armstrong?
No, it was like a girl, like they were girls and they had like weird hair and anyway, I'll have to look it up. But anyway, Spaghetti Betty, and then there's Huggy Wuggy.
Huggy Wuggy.
Huggy Wuggy, Huggy Wuggy is the jump scare part of this game.
Oh, really? Huggy Wuggy is the jump
scare? Huggy Wuggy is, you have to go through and you get like a backpack with hands on it and you have to like pull the hands around and use it to swing from things and stuff. It's pretty cool. It's all puzzles. It's a lot of puzzles.
Right.
But then you get the jump scare things.
I know one of the favorites that Nick and I have both played. I think actually you introduced me to it was Blood Rain.
Oh, Blood Rain.
Blood Rain was fantastic. I mean, what I liked about Blood Rain was that I could play it. You know, I'm not good at video games, but I could play it. Now, listen, I'm going to just out myself. I'm not a gamer. I play on the easy mode, but I just loved Blood Rain and I was so. What I love about any video game is if I can finish the video game, then it's a good video game.
Yeah.
You know, so there's a few video games that I've actually finished. Blood Rain was one of them. I would play it as often as I could because I just loved the whole idea of it. I loved the whole lore of it. And then was it Uwe Boll who made a movie of it?
Oh, yeah. So there's three of the movies and they're They're not good.
No, they're not good. I was excited for them until you told me Yui Bowl was the one behind it.
However, there is something artistic and magical about Meatloaf playing an old lecherous vampire surrounded by hookers.
I don't like anything in that sentence at all.
So yeah, the movies weren't great, but the video game series is a lot of fun. It's an action, similar in style to like God of War or whatever. They actually have it for sale on the PlayStation Network right now, and I keep looking at it going, yes, but I'm not paying $25 for a game that old that hasn't had any updates to it.
Mm-hmm. Interesting, yeah.
Yeah.
It's especially because the graphics
went. Yeah, exactly.
But at the time, we thought they were spectacular.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of games who haven't had any updates, how about PT?
PT?
I just found out about PT last night.
Oh!
The Silent Hill continuation that never got made.
We watched that video last night. That was, So... This was Hideo Kojima, I believe it is, put this together, and it was supposed to have Norman Reedus in it, and it was supposed to be the new Silent Hill game. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of hardcore Silent Hill fans who are still sore, completely butthurt over the fact that this game never got released.
So apparently the demo came out, John. The demo came out, and then the company fired the guys working on it, and it never got made. So if you can find the demo on systems, they go for a lot of money.
Wow, that is a real tease.
And it looks really good. Like, we watched people play it last night, like, on YouTube.
Wow.
It looks awesome.
So...
But I, like...
For a minute there, I thought that was the graphic. I was like, holy, that's where graphics have gone?
No. So it was a collaboration between Hideo Kojima, and I'm going to milk this just for a moment just to really mess with John here. Hideo Kojima and Guillermo del Toro.
Nice. Yep.
Yeah. And it got canned.
Yeah. But it looks really cool. Apparently it broke the internet because everyone was like, where is this game? When is it coming out? Oh my gosh. And then they pulled the plug and everyone's like,
My one friend's husband will every so often whine about this thing on social media that it never, like, just will make a post saying, hey guys, just a reminder, today's the day that this game should have came out. It's like 10 years later. It's like, oh my God. But after watching the demo last night,
yeah.
I get it. That thing is fantastic.
And
the fact that they did not make it.
Yeah, you're going through hallways, and you go through one door, and then you go down the hallway, turn a corner, and keep going into another door that takes you back to the first door. That's all the demo
is. Just remember, Nick, in terms of your friend, there is no time limit on grief.
That's true.
Yeah.
There is a part in this demo where it goes into the washroom, and there is a fetus in the sink, and the fetus looks like a racer head.
It's not talking. Really. Yeah, It's
talking like a man.
Anyway,
it's like,
go look it up. Actually really cool.
I think we've just lost a number of our listeners.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I wonder if that was influenced by Eraserhead.
I would have to think so, because it really, really looked like something out of Eraserhead.
That is such a bizarre... Anyway, we're not here to talk about Eraserhead.
Anyway, so that's just some of the video games. I know there's a ton more. I asked my two streamer friends who do a lot of horror video games, and they gave me this huge list. But I'm like, I've never played any of these. I only want to play one of them. But
is it, there's a couple genres, and I'm wondering how, because obviously horror makes money. I mean, mm-hmm. there are horror hands out there like myself, like Nick. You are our ingenue horror hound.
I'm a
coming
little
up.
Baby.
And it's amazing to me the money that these make. So where does it lie in the popularity, do we think, along the lines of something like Super Mario Brothers or the more popular family-friendly things? It's got a built-in audience to begin with, right? Yeah.
So when you look at something like Resident Evil, like some of these games, BioShock, some of these games are as iconic as Super Mario Brothers. Because they are, like, when someone says horror video game, first thing that pops in your head is Resident Evil.
Yeah.
Like right away.
Or Silent Hill, maybe.
Silent Hill, yeah. I would say, like, and the fact that Resident Evil has 8 mainline games as well as 8 billion sideline games is telling.
Yeah, I mean, and it even extends to your phone. You know how you can get those very simple games on your phone. And I played matching games. I've played like Bubble Witch and things like that before, right? So I like the matching games because they're very simple and you just match them up. And like there's all kinds of different things that can happen to those, you know, like you run out of moves or whatever. I found a Halloween one. And I was just like, oh, yes, you had me at Halloween. And what I like about it is it's really kind of glorious in a way that you have, like, there's all these symbols. So there's, like, the red rabbit symbol. There's the jack-o'-lantern. There's, you know, all kinds of different things. But the problem with this is that they do put in that horror pulse-pounding moment because you only have so many moves to collect all the different things. Like, it's a poster or the mask that he wore when he was a kid, Michael Myers wore. So here's the thing about it. Michael Myers is at the top of the stairs, right? Just kind of chilling there. It's like eyeing you with his dead eyes and black eyes.
Look at all those eyes. Yeah.
And then as you make moves, the music, and it's the Halloween music, you know, the dun, 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 he comes down the stairs and you're just like, oh, okay. So you get to a point where you're just like, I'm screwed because I have to get like 5 things and I've only got 3 moves left. What happens? He stabs you and you're just like, well, that was fun.
Stab, 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 stab.
So every time I defeat him, I'm just like, finger, there you go. Bye, oh, yeah. Mikey. And sometimes it's like within like that last move and you're just like, oh, yeah.
Yep. That feeling of relief.
That feeling of utter relief because it's like, Mikey, no. Now, it's like, it's in terms of a video game, it's kind of dull to some people, but I like it for the brain activity of matching things, right? This is how I'm warding off my Alzheimer's.
Yeah, I mean, well, for the type of people that like those things, that's the type of thing those people like.
Well, but this is the thing, right? Because everyone, even from my generation, when it was like Atari and it was little pixels and whatever, everybody was always criticizing video games. Now, yes, everything has to have its place, and you have to set a time limit on these things, right? Like, you can't just sit there, although it would be amazing. You can't just sit there and play video games all day. You have to get up and shower and pee and eat.
I can tell you there are people.
You should. Let me rephrase it. You should get up once in a while. But the thing of it is, like, there is so much good that comes out of these things. High eye and hand coordination, critical thinking. Again, the idea of using a different part of your brain to solve the puzzles and to think. So it's like, don't criticize them so much. But if you are living in a moldy basement 24/7, not seeing the light of day because you have to basically engage with Glinda the troll, then I think that you have a problem and you probably should seek a little bit of help.
Unless you're doing it on Twitch and making money for it, then continue that grind.
So the horror video games even went so far as, like, I remember when I was in college, it got really big. There's an app on your phone called Zombie Run.
Oh,
and basically you put headphones in and you go for a walk or a run. Basically you exercise, but there's zombies chasing you. And you have to go from point A to point B. Like, you can set where you want to go, but there's check marks that you need to get. So it uses, like, Google Maps and stuff. Check marks that you need to get at certain points. But if you don't move fast enough, like, you can set the difficulty and stuff. But say you're going on a run. If you don't move fast enough, the zombies start getting closer and closer and closer and closer. And you can hear it in your headphones.
And that brings up a really great little point, because they have some cutesy ones, too, like Plants vs. Zombies.
Yes. Yeah.
What a fun little game that is.
Yeah.
I mean, you just, again, you have to stop and think. It's like, where am I going to put the plant that is going to have the best chance at stopping the zombie?
What a fun little game that is, until you get into part 2 and it's like, it gives you an aneurysm.
Is this, I can see your eye twitching now from the PTSD.
Mm. Speaking of zombies, you've played the DLC for Red Dead Redemption, Undead Nightmare.
I have, yes. I own that
one. Yeah. I played it too. What am I talking about? But yeah, yeah.
Let me tell you, I'm not really good at video games, I'll be honest. I was actually getting really good at this one. You know, like my dude was not getting killed. I was like, this is awesome. Oh, now, yeah. Mind you, I let a town just like burn because I'm like, I got lost in the desert on my horse. I didn't know. I couldn't get to the town fast enough or whatever, right? But let me tell you something that happened and I just went, oh, huge cuss. So I'm riding my horse. Everything's fine. You know, just chilling, going, yeah, I got this. Killing all the zombies. This is good. My horse and I fell into a canyon full of zombies.
No.
Completely full of them. And like more than you would ever see on any episode of Walking Dead. And I'm like, yeah, mule, let's go, horse. I did my best, but there is just no way out of that.
So I don't know if it was specific to the DLC or if it was the overall game, but you could actually pick up the four horses of the apocalypse.
Yeah, that would be cool. Yeah.
And I when I played it, I had picked up War and Famine, but I didn't get the other two.
I picked up a couple of them. Some of it is really kind of hard. Like, you have the little side missions, and I'm just like, do I have to? Like, whatever. Like, I want a photograph of this. Can you go round up a thing? It's like, yeah, I'll try and do that. But it's like, no, you got to shoot demon coyotes and whatever. And I'm just like, no, nah, bro. But the one, like, you're supposed to take over, like, a fort, like the Alamo or something.
Yeah, yeah.
That is such, like, it makes it look like it's a hard thing, but it's like, it's not. Because
yeah, I remember that.
Like, you just go around, and it's like, okay, I'm just going to hop up here on the wall. It's like, oh, look, a Gatling gun.
Yep.
Bye.
So, Red Dead Redemption 2 is one of the best games I've ever played. And I wish they would do an Undead Nightmare DLC for that. Because, oh my god, it's the world of the first game, but they've added on so much more to it. Like, they got the map from the first game and then added on, like, a map that's, like, five or six times the size of the first game.
So, we've all mentioned a number of them. The assignment was to do three. What's your third?
My third is Until Dawn. Until Dawn is it's a game from Supermassive Games, and it is absolutely fantastic because their style is essentially you're playing an interactive movie. You make choices. The choices affect the outcome. Until Dawn stars, they actually use the actors that they cast as the models of the characters in it. So you have recognizable people like Hayden Panettiere, like Rami Malek, although he wasn't overly recognizable at that time because he was just breaking out. But still, a lot of, like, it had familiar faces. Like, and it's a lot of fun because it's basically split into two games.
Yeah.
The first one, the first half of the game, you are essentially playing a slasher film. And then the second half, you're playing a paranormal horror movie with Wendigos. So yeah, it's a ton of fun. I absolutely love it. It's a game of action. I don't really like to replay games.
Yeah.
But Until Dawn, I've replayed about three or four times.
I just love the fact that this gives a lot of actors voice work, and particularly big name actors. I mean, let's face it, Mark Hamill is like in his element. How many video game voices has he actually done besides the Joker? Tons of them.
Tons of them. Well, here's the thing. I was reading an interview with Hayden Panettiere about this game, and she'd never done a video game before, or at least not, I don't think, one to this extent. So she gets the script for it. It's 1,000 pages.
Wow.
Yeah, you have to record every single alternative line and every single ending.
But the nice thing is you don't have to memorize them.
No, you just read them.
Yeah, that's true. But still, that's insane, 1,000 pages.
Yeah.
With Until Dawn, all the choices that you make decide the outcome. Like, you can have an ending where nobody survives. You can have an ending where just Hayden Panettiere's character survives. You can have an ending where everybody survives. That's difficult. It's real difficult. Oh my god. But one of the scares in it that always sticks with me is you're in a mine and you're playing as one of the girls in the game and you hear a noise and you get the choice. Are you gonna go check it out or are you not gonna go check it out?
Oh, hell to the nah, bro.
Mm-hmm.
If you go check it out, oh my god, the Wendigo just grabs you and it just scared the crap out of me. So Supermassive Games have basically made an entire subgenre of these games. They have the Dark Pictures Anthology. I played The Man of Medan, which is amazing. But then they have The Quarry, which is their most recent one.
Yes. And that one is super fun. It's actually, I started streaming that one on Twitch when I first joined the Area 51 and a half group. But yeah, it's developed by Supermassive Games, published by 2K, and it has voice actors including Brenda Song, David Arquette, Ted Raimi, Justice Smith, Lynn Shea.
Yeah.
So they're all in it, and of course it's their faces as well, because they do the same sort of system, same sort of idea. So the plot is like 9 teenage counselors who just closed down Hackett's Quarry summer camp after all the kids have left. They have to stay one more night, and there's stuff that happens on their last night. So again, you can pick multiple different endings. There is 186 different endings.
Holy crap.
Depending on the choices, performances, and quick time events, and the vigilance in finding evidence and clues, as well as the deaths of...
I'd love to play that.
It's very fun.
Yeah, I'd love to play that. I'll have to have me over and play that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You would like these games.
Yeah,
I'm sure. They're super fun. So actually this is a spiritual successor of Until Dawn, and it's obviously inspired by teen flasher and monster films.
Mm-hmm.
You have to go through, and even from the very beginning when you're talking to the police officer, you have to choose options and stuff, and it's super interesting. There's a big twist in it.
I like the idea of choosing options. That gets back to, you know, one of the books I grew up with as a kid, with the Choose Your Own Adventure,
mm-hmm.
where sometimes you're like, that is the right choice that you made. That was a bad life choice you did.
Now, in saying that, a lot of the times these are split-second decisions you have to make, and you don't get to go back a page.
No, that's true.
Except that once you do a playthrough, you can get the death rewind feature, which allows you to go back, and you can rewind 3 deaths and save someone. But there was a DLC that had the Death Rewind feature, as well as an 80s throwback, which they all have outfits from the 80s that were like popular. Right. So it's really a slasher film. But you can also do a movie mode where you select certain options for the characters and then you just watch it like it's a movie, right. Which is really cool in my opinion. I've never done that, but...
I didn't realize that's what movie mode was.
I might
have to get that.
Yeah, no, movie mode is just you can just let it play. But yeah, you can like, and also for people that like aren't as good as video games, you can get rid of the button mashing and the quick time events, or like the aiming and shooting, so you don't have to like worry about shooting things. You don't have to worry about the button mashing part. So it's really nice that they make it accessible for people who are like, I just want an easy game with a plot line, and there you go.
Yeah, and I will, as a adult with a full-time job, a podcast, and all my other stuff, I do appreciate that.
Yeah.
One of the things about this type of game that I really love, though, is the fact that you are involved, because you're so involved in the decision-making in the story, it wraps you right into it.
Well, I got attached to some characters right off the bat. Yeah. Then there's other characters that I'm literally like, you can not survive. I really don't care.
Well, it's just like any other horror film. You have your characters that you like, and then you have the characters like, I can't wait to see you get popped.
Yeah. How many ways can I get you gone?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's interesting too, because like when you play something like Sims, there's a version of the Sims, and death shows up. And you can murder somebody in that. I've done it. I'm just like, I've had it with you. I put like couches around you next to a fire waiting for you to burn so death can just come and take your ass out of here.
Horror games.
I know, but that's what I mean. It's like there are elements in all of these things, and it's so much fun. It's escapism. Mm-hmm. It's that idea of getting that adrenaline rush while you remain safe in your house, yes, or apartment or mom's basement or wherever. But you know, it's that rush that we sometimes crave, that goes back to the olden days when we had to have the flight or fight response, yeah, that we've suppressed modernly, you know. So it's just great.
Yeah. Like also with the, I guess in Until Dawn too, they have like a narrator that in between the cutscenes. So in this case,
is it Morgan Freeman?
No, in this case, I forget who plays.
I want it to be Morgan Freeman.
But in this case, it's a witch that is reading tarot cards that you can find. Because that's the other thing is you can find tarot cards that unlock different things. And if you find them, give them back to her. She reads them and it.
It's either Until Dawn or the Dark Pictures Anthology. But Peter Stormare plays I think it's Until Dawn because he plays a therapist as a narrator.
Okay. This is the narrator. Grace Zabrinsky. She's the narrator for The Quarry.
Yeah, but for Until Dawn, though. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You know her?
Yeah, from like the Twin Peaks series, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Oh, yeah.
It's really cool. You're definitely going to have to come play because I'm pretty sure Nick just got it on his. Nick was going to start playing it and he started it but never finished it. So.
That happens a lot of games.
But then there's Dead by Daylight, which is a multiplayer game, and I think this one would be very entertaining for you, John, because they have some licensed killers in it.
Oh, nice.
So, first off, Dead by Daylight is a multiplayer, one killer, four survivors.
So it's like Freddy Krueger, Michael Myers, Leatherface.
I have the list of what they're called, and you have to guess them.
Oh, so I have to guess who it actually is?
Who is it actually, yeah. Oh, some Lord. Of them are very easy. But, because they have the killers, and then they have some of the heroes that you can play as survivors, and then they have special maps that come up with each DLC.
So to kind of clarify it, they have the killer, and then that killer has a moniker.
Okay, because they didn't have rights to the name.
No, they have rights to the name. Even the like the actual killers in the game have a moniker.
So if it was Michael Myers, it might be like the Halloween killer or something like that.
No, here all.
Okay.
So the Shape.
That's Michael Myers.
Michael Myers. The Cannibal.
That's Leatherface.
Mm-hmm. Bubba Sawyer. The Pig.
The Pig. I think I would know this. The Pig.
Comes with David Tapp.
I don't know that one.
There's a Gideon Meat Plant. That's Amanda Young from Saw.
Oh. Okay.
The Nightmare.
Oh, that's Freddy, right?
Yep, with Quentin Smith and Preschool. Springwood Benham Preschool. And then we got Ghostface.
Well.
Sorry, the Ghostface.
The Ghostface. That would be Ghostface.
Yeah. The Demigorgon.
Stranger Things, yeah.
And that comes with Steve and Nancy.
Oh, nice.
That you can play as characters. The Executioner.
The Executioner. Oh, that's well, that's any of them. Can I get more with that?
It comes with an elementary school.
Well, we already did Freddy, so it can't be that. Comes with an elementary school.
Cheryl Mason. That's Pyramid Head.
Oh, yeah. That's. I wouldn't have been as familiar with that, honestly.
Yeah, the Nemesis.
I didn't get into the lore of horror video games.
Yeah, the Nemesis.
I know that one.
Which one's that?
It's Nemesis from Resident Evil.
Yeah, Nemesis Type T with Leon S. Kennedy, Jill Valentine, and the Raccoon City Police Station.
Ooh.
And then we got the Hell, the Cenobite.
Oh well, yeah, that's Hellraiser. Yeah. Pinhead, right?
Yeah.
Is it Pinhead or is it other Cenobites?
Yeah, it's just Pinhead. The Onryo?
Oh.
Did they pronounce that correctly?
Yeah. It's
Onryo, yeah.
Onryo. It's not an English word.
Right, so that's probably like the ring?
Yeah. She goes actually through the TVs.
Samara.
Yeah. smart. She's really, or no, it's a Sadako.
Yeah, it's the actual Japanese.
So it's the Japanese one. Oh, yeah. But she goes to the TVs. It's really cool. Yeah. I love playing as her. The Mastermind.
Mastermind. I'm just trying to think who's.
Ada Wong, Rebecca Chambers.
Oh, Wesker.
Yeah. Albert Wesker.
He's from Resident Evil.
Evil. So they have another police station there. And then you get this, this one's very important. You get this, the survivor of Nicolas Cage. Not as a character, it's Nicolas Cage.
Yep.
Apparently his kid plays the game and he wanted to be in it. So there's an entire bonus feature, which is Nicolas Cage.
There's also a Laurie Strode survivor and an Ash Williams survivor.
Yes. Yeah, Ash Williams. And then there's the Xenomorph.
Right.
And you can get Ripley with it. The good guy.
Oh, that's got to be Chucky.
Yeah, Chucky. And then you can also get Alan Wake as a survivor.
Oh, that's cool. Alan Wake's another horror. I have that game. I haven't tried it yet.
There's a whole series or something?
Yeah, there's Alan Wake 1 and 2. They remade the first one not so long ago in preparation for Alan Wake 2 coming out, okay. Which I think came out either earlier this year or late last year. I just haven't played it yet.
But...
I would love to see a video game where they get Barbara Crompton, they get Jamie Lee Curtis, they get Henry Langenkamp, they get all these famous final girls from horror, and just do one with them where it's like, okay, well, you get to play as them defeating the.
I think that would be cool. Do you know how villains. They do like the. What was the one is like Sylvester Stallone?
The Expendables.
The Expendables, yeah. But with the final girls. Yeah. Just being like, oh, this like,
just
again.
Just call it Final Girls.
Yeah.
There's a Final Girls board game out that I want to get my hands on. I haven't played it yet. But they could if they wanted to make a video game, they could easily just integrate those rules from that board game. Because that'd be easy. But yeah.
I wonder if there's the Fog video game. I would love that if there was. It's one of my favorite horror movies.
I've never seen it.
You haven't seen The Fog? No.
Oh. Why are you guys always so surprised when I say I've never seen a horror movie?
I know. Like, sorry, it's not. He's surprised. I'm not surprised. My thing is like you will not watch that together, you two. You will watch that with me.
Okay. Yep.
So there is in fact a The Fog video game, but it's not based off the movie. So open your way across a dark, open world and fight against what lives in the fog and beyond. The Fog is a survival horror game inspired on the 1980 novel The Mist by Stephen King. So it's The Mist. Okay, cool.
But
anyway, I'll take that.
So they couldn't call it The Mist, but somehow they called it The Fog.
Whatever.
I have a feeling that John Carpenter let out his hand and a check fell in it.
Probably.
But I really enjoyed Dead by Daylight. It's multiplayer only, but like you have to go around and fix generators and you're like timed and you have these killers haunt, like they can literally, with Ghostface, a lot of times people just come up and stand behind the survivor and like you can hear the heartbeat, but until the killer like attacks you, they just can just stand there. So it's super fun. And sometimes you get serious killers. Sometimes you get killers that are just like, oh, here's the exit. Okay. And then they slaughter you right before you leave the exit. it's a very fun game.
I watched a video the other day and the killer, there was a little L-shaped corridor and the killer had the victim trapped. So the victim would go one way. The killer were just like, okay, here I am.
Yeah.
Victim would go the other way. The killer was like, okay, here I am. It just kept going back and forth until the victim just like walked into the killer and just gave up.
It's very entertaining. Good for streams. It's very good for streams. Yeah. But
well, speaking of horror, we have a fun event coming up. Brand, you want to tell us about Shockstock, one of my favorite little It has grown over the years.
Yeah.
Shockstock has grown over the years. It happens over in London, Ontario. Not London, England. London, Ontario. The other London that was mentioned in All of the Family years and years ago. Shockstock celebrates the greasy side of horror, if you will.
It's goes from May 1st to 5th of this year. So it's coming up. We are going to be there, and I'm very happy to announce that. It's a film festival and weekend horror celebration. And they are actually doing the world premiere of Cocaine Werewolf.
Yeah.
Which I'm super excited to see. I think that's on Wednesday is when that's coming out.
Oh my God. So I need to see that.
So clearly it's an independent movie. Yeah.
All of these.
Yeah.
I've been looking for this through the schedule. A lot of the Shockstock movies, they have a bunch of like student films and a bunch of little films. They have a DJ that goes from like 1:30 until God knows when in the morning. Bigfoot versus zombies.
Yeah, so I just looked up Mark Polonia, who's the director of Cocaine Werewolf. One of the movies he's known for is Bigfoot versus Zombies. He's also got Land Shark and Camp Murder.
Oh my God. Land Shark, that's awesome.
There's going to be some guests there as well, of course, such as The Last Drive-In, Joe Bob Briggs, and Darcy the Mail Girl.
I am so excited to meet them.
Bill Moseley.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to be there. From the
Rob Zombie stable of actors. Yeah.
Red. Mark Polonia directed Dracula.
I'm in love. Oh my God. And Amityville in Space. Oh, and Doll Show. Oh, this is my favorite person ever. Anyway. Sylvia Colantina is also going to be there. Jeff Lieberman. Lynn Lowry. There's a whole bunch of people. The Monsters of Schlock are going to be there.
Oh, they're there every year.
Well, yeah, and
they're great.
They're going to have a scary house and all kinds of... There's a whole bunch of exhibitors, so I guess it's movies Wednesday and Thursday night.
Yeah.
And then Friday, Saturday, Sunday is the con.
Yeah.
Where they have a whole bunch of...
Vendors
and little... like, they have panels, and they're doing movie reviews.
And they have after parties and all kinds of things. Yeah.
It's... I'm really excited to go. I missed it last year.
I couldn't believe I missed it. I almost cried.
They're doing a live The Last Drive-In with Darcy and Joe Bob as well. That's
going to be intense. The Last Shockstock.
Yeah. So that's going to be difficult because it's first come, first serve. Like, it's included in the price of the ticket.
Right.
But getting in there is going to be difficult.
But, yeah.
Yeah. That might be, is that off-site or is that on-site?
From what I understand, it's on-site.
Okay.
I got to double check. I'm going to get a whole bunch of stuff like printed out for us. But anyway, we're going to be there. It's going to be great. It's going to be fun. I hope to see people there. If you see us, please come by and say hello. We'll be walking around doing our thing and having lots of fun, hopefully.
We'll get pictures with people.
Yeah, pictures, photo ops. Yeah, it's going to be great.
Yeah, I can't wait.
And on that note, Nick, remind our aliens how they can get a hold of us one more time.
Well, they can find us on social media. That is TikTok, Threads, and Instagram at the Area 51H. You can find us on Facebook and YouTube for searching for Area 51 and a half. And of course, check out our Patreon for all sorts of exclusive goodies and a shout out on the podcast.
Thank you for joining us on the Landing Pad Aliens. This is Spooky Uncle John and
Snyderman 501 Nick Snyder.
Ren, a.k.a. Pyre Lily.
Signing off for another episode of Area 51 and a half. See you in 2 weeks.